What do you do on a bright but damp November morning? Food seems like a good thing to focus on. So today I went to the Northampton Food Festival with Matthew O'Callaghan, who's the inspiration behind the East Midlands Food Festival that takes place in Melton Mowbray. We had a chat about the grassroots approach that Matthew champions and the importance of protecting and promoting an independent food culture.
That's Ian Hartland, who was part of the Mrs. King's and then separated and produced his own company, Hartland Pies. So he's from Cotgrave in Nottinghamshire. Member of the Pork Pie Association. So yeah, first time down here in Northampton, he says. Yeah. There's a lady doing chocolate kisses there, which I was hoping we were going to have at the Chop Fest, but the lady who was going to do it for us can't make it now, so. Yeah, actually, I might go and talk to her. So. I'm Matthew O'Callaghan, I chair the Melton Mowbray Food Partnership.
And what does that involve, and what have you got coming up soon?
It's really a network of food producers in and around the Melton Mowbray area. Perhaps what we're most famous for is organising events. We do now 5 events in the year. We do a food festival, chocolate fair, we do a cheese fair, we do a pie festival, and we do a spirits festival. And we organise the British Pie Awards and the Artisan Cheese Awards. So busy really with sort of events and hoping to help local producers get their produce out to the public.
And what's the kind of flavour that you've got with these?
Well, various flavours. I mean, you know, it's not, it's chocolate, it's cheese, whatever. No, it's really a sort of, some people are quite dismissive and saying, well, it's nothing but a glorified farmer's market. Yeah. We're not like, you know, the BBC Good Food Shows or anything like that, you know, glitzy or whatever. It's actually honest traders who make the stuff in front of the public, and that's what it's about.
So independent traders?
Independent traders, yes. We don't go for the corporates. And in fact, our artisan cheese fair specifically eliminates the larger cheesemakers. So that, you know, you've actually got the small cheesemaker right in front of you.
Why is it important to support that?
They're under pressure. You know, it's a difficult climate for them. It's a difficult economic climate. And also, I think, you know, they deserve it. I mean, you know, they've actually specialised in something. They've actually put their skills and craft and investment on the line. And I think they're the future of food.
Ladies and gentlemen, please do come and take your seats in the Foodies Lounge at 2:45. So in 5 minutes' time, we'll be joined by The Good Loaf talking all about their social enterprise and the great work they do in our area. Come along and join them as they talk all things bread at 2:45.
So we just got interrupted by the public announcement then, which I thought was really useful because they're talking about social enterprises. How important do you think food is and independently produced food to local communities?
I think it's very important. More than anything, they actually provide local jobs and actually good local jobs at reasonable wages. The larger companies tend to you know, offer minimum wage and that's it, whereas the smaller producers tend to engage people at reasonable wages. And if you help out a local producer, you're actually not just helping them out, but helping their suppliers as well. So it's a whole food chain thing. And if we did more of it, we'd actually find some of our high streets a lot more vibrant.
Because that's a big challenge at the moment, isn't it? The kind of development and, you know, there's a record number of shops being closed at the moment. We approach this in the wrong way, don't we? We approach this on thinking about, you know, kind of corporate multiples with large numbers of branches and centralisation. But what's that doing to our local high streets?
I agree with you. I mean, I've seen, you know, in Melton, for example, and elsewhere, you get a large company come in. We had Melton, Marks & Spencer had a Simply shop in our town, and then for no apparent reason it was closed, simply because it was the last one they invested. It was doing very well, people in the town supporting it, one of the highest turnovers I'm told per square foot in the area, and yet closed because of some arbitrary decision. I don't really want to put the fate of our towns in the you know, in the hands of the large retailers, because they're not loyal to us, they're not faithful to us. They take their decisions at corporate levels, whereas the smaller producer from the area has actually invested in the area. Their family go to the local school, they might worship at the local church, they're actually involved in the community and they've got a stake in it. And I think if we actually encourage more of them to come in and to set up and to thrive, I think we'd have a more diverse economy and a much more interesting and sustainable high street.
You've got Chockfest coming up soon. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Well, what's not to like, eh? It's our third year, and probably this year will probably be the largest chocolate festival in 2018 in the country. Last year we had our second, and we're overwhelmed, really. We had 6,500 visitors. And the nice thing is it's all about chocolate, but it's not just chocolatiers. We have some cracking chocolatiers coming, really interesting stuff that they're producing, a whole wide range of chocolate. But also then, of course, there's cakes, there's chocolate fudge, there's brownies, there's a whole host of things. And some of the more unusual things like chocolate-covered pork pies, chocolate scotch eggs, chocolate pizza, chocolate kebab. So there's chocolate wine, there's chocolate beer, lots of things associated with chocolate. And it really is interesting to see how chocolate now is evolving in terms of people, you know, interest in the provenance of chocolate, rather like coffee. People just say, well, you know, I just don't want a coffee, I want a Brazilian coffee, or I want, you know, where does the coffee come from? And now people are saying the same about chocolate. Surprising that I think it's something like 60% of our chocolate comes from West Africa, which is not really where chocolate started. Obviously it started in the Americas. But what is interesting is that we're now getting chocolate from places such as Madagascar. Vietnam is now producing very high quality chocolate. So people are now starting to say, where does the chocolate come from? Well, it's not just Thornton's, but, you know, where does that local producer get his or her chocolate from? And that's really what's interesting.
The UK, I think, has the highest rate of people eating processed and packaged food in Europe, which is over 52% of meals come from ready meals and takeaways and convenience food. How do you think that kind of, it's all very well to be interested in food, how about making food and taking control of, you know, learning the skills, the food literacies? What do you think we need to do to support directly people's food literacies, if you like?
I think it's a cultural thing that we actually dismiss food as just as calories and calorie intake. So people have lost their connection with food, unlike, you know, Italy and France and whatever, where food is still an important part, even if you live in the city. And for them, part of the experience is finding out where the local food comes from, knowing their local foods. With us, we moved to processing and industrialization very, very early on, and food was one of those industries which went rapidly sort of industrialized, and so we lost a lot of our heritage foods because of it. And also, as I say, that interest on that link with food, it was from a factory, you just ate it, whereas that whole experience that, you know, other countries have, you know, we sort of lost. Some of it's coming back and people are eating out a lot more. Trouble is that some of them are diners and that sort of thing, but, you know, hopefully there are quality restaurants being supported, and people are looking for that slightly different thing, but it's not on a very large scale. And I think, you know, whatever the government can do to help and local authorities and whatever to try and get people interested in the wider aspects of food.
So what will people get in terms of direct experience that they get from your festivals and from Chockfest that they obviously don't get from wandering up and down supermarket aisles?
They get to meet producers and they see the passion that goes into food and they see the variety of food and, you know, the inventiveness of some of it. You just think, gosh, wow, I'd never thought of that. You know, it's just that sort of that different take on thing. We've just had some Brazilian pastry cheese balls, and you just think, wow, it's, you know, someone in Brazil sort of thought of those and we've not seen them before, and what a lovely experience that was. It's just that creativity and that cross-cultural thing which is absolutely fascinating, and that's really what we're about in the Melton festivals. It's looking for those unusual producers, and that's why I go to food festivals throughout the year, looking for something unusual and thinking, gosh, I think you'd fit in, or we've never seen that before, you know, why don't you come along to Melton? And we've now got such a reputation established now for our food festivals that we don't publish our booking forms on the online as other festivals do. you have to contact me and reply, and then I grill you about, you know, what do you do and how do you do it, and we're a bit picky as to who we have. And I'll go to a show like this one in Northampton and look at producers, and I think something like at least 50% of the traders here come to at least one of our Melton events during the year. And I think I've actually approached two people to join them out of the whole of this festival. But, you know, that's because I've pinched a lot of them before.
So it's got to pass the O'Callaghan test.
Yeah, I think so. If I'm interested in it, I mean, I may not eat it. You know, I'm a vegetarian after all. But, you know, I look first of all, see where are the queues? Who's queuing and why are they queuing? I look to see the appearance of a stand. I look to see, you know, obviously, quick look at the hygiene certificate to make sure that's a scratch. But, yeah, and then look to see, well, actually, that's rather nicely laid out. Gosh, that looks good value. You know, all those sort of things.
And they care about it.
Yeah, and, you know, and then you talk to them and they see the passion that they've got in it. And you think, yeah, I think you'd fit in. Yeah. I mean, we're about quality and experience.